bottom of the vav of base. We're going to start with Bayi Rava. Bayi Rava, Nemala, Shechisra Mahu. What's the din of a Nemala that's missing an ant, that's missing some part? Shi'ura Gemirinla, V'chachaser. It's a Shi'ur that we learned. It's Halach Lemos Mishinai. That's the Shi'ur. Kavod Nemala is a whole Bria, that you need the entire existence. V'chaser, and this is missing. Oh, Bria Gemirinla, V'ika. Oh, we need a live animal. And that we have here. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about someone who eats a nemala, eats an ant. And there is no minimum shiur of eating or consuming an ant to be chayiv for eating an ant. It does not have the normal requisite of a kazayit, but it's sufficient that it be a whole entity. As long as it's a whole entity, then it's considered to be a violation of the law, right, of getting shvatzim. And you get malchus for it. So now, when we say it has to be a whole entity, what does that mean? Does it mean whole entity literally, meaning whole, like the full entity? Or, when we say whole, does it just mean a live entity? Right? And the difference will be what happens in this case. Exactly the case of Rava, which is Nimalash Kisra, that you're missing. Nimala that's missing some body part that's not life-threatening to it. So there, we're not missing, we don't have a briyah, bishlem uta, you don't have a full entity, but yet you have a live entity. So is that sufficient or not? And I'm assuming this plays off a little bit. The Gemara before we should discuss was whether you need the shlem usameis by rekim. Do you need a full, right, the guf shalem, or a guf that is chaser is also okay to create rekim hameis. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskirta, it's the top of Nun Beis Amin Aleph, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskirta tashma. I will learn from this. And the parsha, which we were talking about, Tuma says, Bahem, right, that, if you touch them, right, Yochol b'kulam Bahem, sounds like entirely. He would think that it means you have to touch the entire body or the entire sheretz b'chai of Tama Bomer, Mehem. Right, and it possibly uses the term mayhem, which sounds like mimiksasam. So yochol mimiksatam tamalomer behem. You would think that you only have to touch a part of it, or only a portion of it would be mitameh. Torah says behem sounds like the whole. Hakezad. How can you reconcile the two? How can you reconcile between behem and mayhem, which sounds like whole and partial? So it says actually gab mimiksatam shu kukulan. You can touch a portion of a sheretz be mitameh. Even with less than a whole entity, but it has to be a size that in some form or some shape will be a whole. And what is that? B'shiru chachamim ka'adasha. And they said that's the size of a lentil seed. Shekein chomet tchilat b'riyato, the chomet in its infancy, is b'ka'adasha, is the size of an adasha. And so chomet is a snail, I guess, that beginning of its creation is the anadasha. So the Chamim solved the problem or dealt with this issue in the pasuk of the right inconsistency between Behem and Mayhem, one which implies that you have to touch the whole sheretz, or the sheretz must be in its entirety to become Tameh, versus Mayhem, which sounds like even a portion of the sheretz will be Mitameh. So how do you explain that? We have to find it so true. Portions of a sheretz or shvatzim will be Mitameh. But those, what are the portion sizes that will be matameh? That is a portion size that we find elsewhere in Shratzim, which is a whole, which is bahem, is an entity, a full entity. And what's a full entity? A chomet b'tchilat v'riyato. So now, Gemara says, Shmamina shi'ura gemirila. It's clear that the Gemara here is talking about a minimum shi'ur. So even though a chomet that's born, say, when its infancy is the size of a lentil, okay, the ashel. What happens if you have a chomet in its infancy that's missing a leg or missing an antennae, whatever it is that it's missing, that makes it less than a hadasha, and it will survive. Nevertheless, Chavim determined that the minimum shiur is ke'adasha, despite the fact that you could have possibly a chomet less than a ke'adasha if it's missing some body part that would not be life-threatening. So you see from that, based on that, that it's a shiur agimire, that the shiur is a defined size, and independent of its ability to survive, and so too by an ant. We should say the same thing, that the minimum standard for an ant is a birya, a full entity, even though when the entity is missing some portion, it still has viability, it's still able to live. So my says, well, Amar Rav Shmaya, ki bi'inan shi'ura, ותלו אבי כעד אשר לא מתאמת, תלו נפלה בנשמה אבל נפלה בנשמה לא תיבאי לך. Oh, Rav Shema, it says you can't make a conclusion from this. Why? Ki be'inan, when do we need shi'ura? When is the shi'ur an absolute? Right, that, when it's not the size of a lentil, that it's not metameh, that's when we're talking about the chilas viriyata. We're talking about the creation of a new animal. In that when your first life coming into an animal, right, imparting life or the start of an animal, that we have to talk about the minimum shi'urs ke'adasha, no matter what. That, I mean, since that is the start of life of a chomet, we don't talk about a chomet that's missing some part of its body. But an ant that's already living, already moving around, if it's missing a part of its body, maybe the shi'ur would not be the defining moment, defining factor, but rather the fact that it's alive.
An ant would be less than a kadasha in the first place.
Right. It would be less than that. It can be less than anything. I mean, that the definition of what makes an amalach chayav is its biryat, that it's an entity. Right, so no matter what size the entity is, you'll be chayav. And the Gemara wants to know, if that entity is missing a body part, which makes it less than, quote-unquote, an entity, but yet still a living being, is that sufficient? So,
there's the question of but say so there's an opinion that if the frozen vegetables are okay because when it's flash frozen, it causes the eyes to pop out. And so, there are definitely people who want to do that, but according to those, if the eyes pop out, it's missing, it doesn't have the status of a brilliant, and then even if there are some little harm, they would be
going to pass. Alright, good. So same thing, right? They use crushed vegetables, the same thing. That if you crush up the vegetables or these types of things, that they will no longer be a birya there if they're put into a blender of sorts. All right. So based on this, what's the conclusion of the Gemara? So now it seems that this is Rav Shmaya just seems to turn it back to the original question, and that's the way the Mefarish learns it. Rav Shmaya says akateti bailach. It'll still be a question. You know, Rav Shmaya is not a conclusive statement, but rather an alternative statement. You don't have to conclude that it's a shi'urahu from that Mishnah in or the Braisa about, excuse me, shratzim, because I can tell you that there's a difference. There's a difference between the beginning of a life and the continuation of life, and that will make a difference when there's a shi'ur or not, and therefore the question goes back to Rava's the question that Rava posited, and we have no conclusion. Although it seems to me other Rishon read this as being a conclusion. You know, Rav Shammai is making a definitive statement, and not that he is, right, that he's not saying, not that he's saying, okay, return this back to Rava's question, but he's making a definitive statement that what? Ki be'inan shiura b'zolavi ke'adasha. That's a statement, that when we don't need a shiur, that's when we're talking about the ke'adasha, when the beginning of the life. Aval nafla b'neshama lozi b'ilach. It should not be a question for you at all. I mean, that's a conclusive statement. Conclusive statement that, by an ant, you don't need birya, you just need the ability to live, and that ability to live will be sufficient to be mechayev you, even though it's chaser from being a birya. Okay. Now a shidra of a gulgulot, the shidra of the spine and the skull, which were mentioned in our Mishnah as being items that the vazir has to cut his hair, or he gives teklakas a tuma on. Yibailu, shidra vigulgulatanad, o dilma o shidra o gulgulat. When the Mishnah says that shidra and gulgulat, does that mean shidra and gulgulat mean a spine and a skull? That'll be the minimum to be mitamei. Or does it mean or a spine or a skull independent? Meaning each one in itself is sufficient to be mitamei. So Amarava Tashma. So let's bring a Tosefta from Allah, Shidra Shigired Rov Il Al In Shiba. Right, so if you have a spine that has the rove of its Il Al In, it seems here from Rishon they call these Tla'ot, which are the spines, the ribs. Right, I don't know, this is the ribs that come off the spinal cord, so I don't know if that's the, you know, what's the Gemara is talking about, or it's talking about the actual vertebrae themselves that are broken out, but somehow this is not a whole spine. It's not a whole spine, tehorah. then if the person comes or is ma'ahil on it or comes into contact with it, he is tahor. Uvekeber, if it's found in a grave together, ifilu mishuberet mufureket, even if it's broken or spread out, tmeah, then it's tmeah mishakeber, because the keber is mitzareif. The keber brings them together, the keber is mitzareif utam to iyo, to one entity. So since the keber makes them into one entity, you have a whole spine there. If you have a whole spine there, that is mitameh. And whereas if you have it over in the open space, when you have this sidra that's broken up, the person's ma'ayil on part of it, or touches a part of it, he's not going to be tameh. So why is that relevant to us? Because the Gemara says, shmamina, because what time of mishum digireid halogireid tameh? The reason that this spine is tahor here is because it's missing parts. It has either has ribs broken off of it, or its vertebrae missing from it. That's what's making it tahor. Halogireid. Had it been its wholeness, had it been its fullness there, the spine tameh, it would have been tameh. Shmamina, o shidra o gulgulet. From that you conclude that shidra by itself is sufficient. Because the lack over here, or the problem over here, is the missing part of the shidra. Had the parts all been there, then the shidra would have been tameh. If that's the case, it means shidra by itself is sufficient. So Gemara says, Haluktani, what are you talking about? That's not what it says. Hagamash Falan, this is all it tells us. The only thing we know for sure from this brisa is Chigirei Torah. Right? When you do take out the pieces, then it's tahor. Either, but if it's all there together, the shidra is all together, tibayalach, that'll still be a question. In that, don't make this inference from here. You can't make the inference because the only thing that Tosefta addressed was the point of when it's tahor. It doesn't tell you what the alternative is. The alternative is, well, if all the pieces are there, that it's tamei, that may not be the alternative. The alternative, maybe all the pieces are there, we're not sure. Is it tahor or tamei? Because we're not sure if you need shidra and gulgulot or shidra. The only thing that you can be conclusive about from that Tosefta is that if it's missing pieces, that you are tahor. So don't make such a deal. This is similar to what we had yesterday, right? By Rabba, that Rabba also, they tried to give me a diagram on a Rabba, and they said, no, Rabba says this. But the other side is, maybe it's still inconclusive on what the other side is, or the other side of the deal is. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try another proof. There are six things that Rabbi Kiva is mitameh. We'll see this list at the end of the Alma today. Right, but that he's mitameh, and chamim are mitair. The chazab of Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva went back on his position and agreed to the position of the chamim. They brought a basket full of bones to a shul of the Tarsiim. Who are these Tarsiim, or what are these Tarsiim? So Tosfos in the first explanation called them Tsorfei Nechoshet. They were copper smelters, right? Some say, Amri Lo, we see in other places when the term Tarsiim is used, that was the name of a nation. These were nationality.
Tarsus, right?
Right, so that very likely could have been a nationality. Ramila or Gim. And some people say Tarsiim are weavers. So whatever this is, that they were, this was, they had, in those days, and we see that from the shul in Alexandria, that they used to sit according to their trade or profession. Right? I mean, that they were craft clubs or people of the same strain or guilds would daven together and have their own shuls, and it was a common thing. So Bekdash Shul Tarsiim is either, you know, the shul of the weavers or the shul of the copper smelters. So not unheard of.
Especially the
tanners
there. Right.
Daven with them, right. Vinyuhu of the avir. And they didn't put it under the roof because they were afraid that this kupa at the boat would be metame ba'ohel. Todus Arofe, he was the chief medical investigator, along with the other doctors went in to look at it. There's no single mate, complete spine here. These come from numerous mateim and not from one single mate. So Hagamar says, Taima Dulek Shidram Demichada, right? The implication from the statement of Todus and his companions is that if the reason that it's not tameh here is because we don't have a shidra from one mace. Ha'ika, o shidra gogolos to mechadon, right? Nazir megalele, Allah, shmamina. So the point is, the inference from that would be that if they had found a spine from a single mace, that would have been sufficient to be mitameh. Right? The fact is that he said it was from multiple meitim is what caused the problem. Had it been from a single mace, then the problem would have been, yes, we have a problem that is Nazir is Megillah Yachalel, and therefore, it shows to you the Shidra Ogugot, that a spine by itself or a skull by itself is sufficient. So where it says, Shmamina, Shidra Ogugot, thank you. So Mar says, no, lo mi boi kamar. No, this is why it says, lo mi boi shidra vigugol to be made dechad. It's like, not only is this not enough because we need shidra and gugolot, meaning that we would have needed, in order for Nazir to be tamei on this, you would have needed both the spine and the skull from a single mace. Right? Not only is there not a spine and a skull from Yemei Sechad Lecha, Ela Apilu O Shidra Yemei Sechad O Gugolos Yemei Sechad Lecha. But there's not only is there not a skull in a spine, but not only, that there's not even a spine or a skull from a single mace. Meaning that there's not, you couldn't even get to the point where you're Tamei, but we're even, before you even get to the point where there's a skull and a spine, at the point that you can't even find a single spine or a single skull from one mace. So that was the point. So lo boi kamar, you can't make such a diuk. So now the Gemara says, Mahein shisha dvarim. What are the six things, Rabbi Akiva mitamei, v'chamim mitaharim? What are these six things that Rabbi Akiva is mitamei and the chamim mitaharim? I'll just point out, by the way, in the last Gemara, Tosus deals with what's the case over there. How do you have a case that it's a problem? I mean, since you have the shidra broken up, it's clear that they brought in the doctors to look at the fact that there was a broken up spine. You have a broken up spine, we just saw in the Tosefta above, that a broken up spine is tahor. So what were they worried about it being mitamei? So you have to say, Tosos comes up with this case, it has to say that they exhumed the bones from a kever. That a Nazir had walked over a grave, and then they went and exhumed the bones, and now they presented these bones before Todus and his friends to see, okay, is this from a Meisecha? Because we said before that the kever is mitzareif, a shidra. So they want to know, was there a single shidra in here that the kever was mitzareif? Right? But if not, then there would be nothing to talk about, because the shidra that's mifurak is tahor, right, when it's broken up, if it's not found in the kever.
Right? You're not allowed to do that.
To what?
To dig up the kever.
Well, here for purpose, you can't purpose. If it has purpose, you're allowed to look up a kever. They did that for Pinoy Etzemot, right? They did Pinoy Etzemot in their days. If it's for a purpose, you can do it to Dermin, for Tuma, and stuff like that, possibly. That's where it's done. When it's unnecessary, then we don't say. I mean, if it's done.
And another, it makes difference with
Kabanos. Right. That's not, I mean, I think for building trains and stuff like that, I don't know if we say that you can move bones, but. For either kavod mace, meaning that for pinoy etzemot of the mace, or for reasons of tuman tahara, possibly, then we might be able to do it. Alright. Umahein, shisha dvarim shabbi kiva mitamei v'chumim mitaharim.
How do you do the tashma minyana?
Oh, sorry, I skipped that. Tashma minyana. We should learn it from the number of items that Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim argue on. Because we said above that they argue on six things. Let's look at these six things enumerated here. Mayin shisha dvarim shabbi akiva mitamei v'chumim mitaharim. What are these six things that they argue about? One is, al eiver min ha-meit shabba mishnei meitim. If you have a single eiver, it comes from two different meitim. Meaning that two different meitim contribute parts of an eiver, and then you have a whole eiver between the two of them. Well, eiver min ha-chai shabba mishnei b'nei adam. Same thing with an eiver min ha-chai. V'chatzi kav atzamot shabba mishnei meitim. A chatzi kav worth of bones that comes from two meitim. From this, just an inference that you're talking about a nazir here, tumas nazir, because for tumas ohel, it would be sufficient to have rova kav atzamot. The fact that it mentions chatzi kav atzamot proves to you that it's talking about a nazir and not a regular ohel mace. It's a chatzi kav atzamot shabba mishnei meitim. V'al rivi'it adam abba mishnei. And a revius of blood that comes from two different meitim. We saw this from Rabbi Akiva earlier on. Rabbi Akiva says, "Akol nafshot meit lo yavol." He dashing from the plural of nafshot, from kol nafshot, that even blood from two meitim is considered enough to be ma'ahil or to consider tumas ohel. We have the number of mishnayim. About etzim kiseora shnechlak lishnayim, or a bone the size of a seora, right, a barley seed. Shnechlak split in two. Right. So all of these are matami ba'ol except for etzim kiseora, which is matami b'magal ubemaso. V'hashidra v'avugolot. And the sixth item here is a spine and a skull. So if you look at the items here, there are five items before we get to shidra and gulgolot. So that means item number six is shidra v'gulgolot. So what do I see? So that's what Shmamina Miminyona from the enumeration here. What? You see that must be one item. Shidra and gulgolot must be a single item, otherwise you have seven items and not six items. These are the dakhos, as one says, Oshidra Ugolet, Hanishiva Havin, and there'll be seven. So Mar says, Kiktani, Koheka, the Pligi Ali Rabbi. No. Truthfully, there are six here, and you can split Shidra and Gugolis into two items. If you have two items of Shidra and Gugolis, you need to eliminate one of the previous items. What do you eliminate? So that's what the Gemara says. Only when the Rabbi argued on Rabbi Akiva does we count that in this machlokas. But where is a Yochid that argued on Rabbi Akiva? We don't count that as a machlokas. And where is there a Yochid that argues on him? And which position is that? So by Etzem Kisora, he has only a individual argument. That's the Tanya. We have a Brisa. Etzem, I'm sorry, a Mishnah. It's not an Etzem in all those. Etzem Kisora, Shenechlat Lishnaim. You have an Etzem, the size of Seora, which is Vitamei B'Mago Masa Nat Ohel, that was split in half. Rabbi Kiva Metamei, Rabbi Kiva still has the ability to be Metamei. Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, Mitaher. So the one who argued on Rabbi Akiva, right, was only Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, not the Chachamim. So we're going to eliminate Etzem Kisora from that list over there of six. And then we'll split Gugolis and Shidra into two items and make it into a list of six. Yes, it was closer on that one. We'll see there is one that he was not closer on, and that we'll get to in a second. Bibaisema, and some people say the one to take out is Kitani Abram in a mace. That we're only talking about a barim of a mace. Abram in a chai, Loktani. Don't, in the list, don't include Abram in a chai, which is an oddball. But everything else is dealing with parts of a cadaver or a dead body, versus Abram in a chai, which is talking about a live body. Right, so, or eliminate Etzem Kisora, not because of the reason we gave above, that it's a machlokas of a yochid, but rather because Etzem Kisora, as I pointed out when we were reading it, is different than everything else there. Everything else there is metame, b'mago, masa, and ohel, whereas Etzem Kisora is only metame, b'mago, and masa, not in ohel. So leave that out of the list because it doesn't have a din of ohel. V'yis by Seima, this is your question, Shaul. Kiktani koecha da'adar bay. This only enumerate in the list things that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind about. Afuki Rabbi's dam to lohadar bay. To exclude Rabbi's dam, this, as I pointed out, when we were reading the list, Rabbi Akiva, already we saw this earlier in the Gemara, had the limud for that. Akod nafsho meit lo yavo, that includes even two meitim that contribute a Rabbi's dam. And how do you know this? Da'amar le Rabbi lekar kaparu. Right, so Rabbi said to Bar Kapara, a student, don't learn the position of Rabbi Kiyah by Rabbi Yisdam that he changed his position. He remained in his position, steadfast in his position, and therefore, when you're chazing over your Mishnayos, don't say that Rabbi Kiva was chozer on this issue. Both, and on top of that, a mikra misayot. Right, the pasuk upholds his position. That's the pasuk that we quote. We had this earlier in the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva says that he uses al kol nafsho meit, right, to say that Rabbi Adam, that's in Daf Mantenam and Beis, right before the mission there, that says Rabbi Afuke Rabbi Adam sheyatz mishne meitim shmetem beol shnemar al kol nafsho meit lo yabo. That's for us. Plurality of nafsho, right? So therefore we have the puzzle to support him. Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon said ad yamav hayam etamei. So when Rabbi Shimon was asked about this, about the position of Rabbi Kiva, he says for all of his life he was metamei. If he changed his mind after he's dead, I don't know. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Tana. So on this it says that Shimon felt bad about how he'd spoken about Rabbi Akiva towards his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. His teeth became blackened by the number of fasts that he said in order to try to rectify his inappropriate speech towards his Rebbe, where he made a slight of some sort, where he says Rabbi Akiva held his position till his death. After his death, maybe he changed his mind. And they felt that that was an inappropriate way, or inappropriate to speak to his Rebbe this way, and therefore he fasted to do tshuva and rectify
the situation. What's the implication of being in my first Shema, in the Shema, in the Olamamas, he discovered what, you know, that he was wrong.
He was saying it there, Bidukhusa. I don't think he was ever, meaning that it wasn't the contrary. He was just saying it. He's basically saying that's his position. He never changed his mind. You know, and he said, if he's dead, if he changed his mind, I can't know that. But basically, I mean, he stayed in his position. That's all. He said it in a way, but he said it in a manner that wasn't so nice. That's what the...
No, because you could understand the implication from that...
Maybe he's wrong.
Maybe he's wrong.
Right. Right, I know, the Rishon, I would agree with you that maybe, I thought that was the problem with the Rishon, you don't say the Rishon. But I'm saying, it says, the Bar Rishon Lomar, as the Tosfos says, I'll read it, the Bar Rishon Lomar to Rebbe, he held like Rebbe Dovi Yehol Chazabo, Al Shama Derech Kantor, Rebbe Yehol Kibosh, Amar Yimish Yemeis, Chazabo, any of that? said it like in a poking way towards the big head. Yeah. I would have agreed with you when I read it first. That's what I thought he meant. I thought he meant maybe maybe Rabbi Akiva changed his mind, meaning that maybe he was wrong, but we don't know that because he never changed his mind while he was alive. Right? That's the way it would be, and that would be much more inappropriate speech towards his Rebbe.
But here he says that Shaharei im hayachozer bo b'yom hazeh in zegnai Shaharei em betola achar rabim lehatos achim chozer bo b'yom haba devazem marash ein toras so toras emes. It's verse 3.
Good, thank you. Thank you. So that's something somewhat along those lines. Not exactly, but somewhat along those lines. Very good. All right, so from here you can see, or at least the Gemara says it's inconclusive again, because the Gemara wants to suggest from Miminyono, the fact that there were six items that the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva argued on, that proves that Shidron Gavulos are one entity. So I says, you can't, that's not necessarily true, because you could split Shidron Gavulos out and drop things from the list, because there are other things, like which one of these does not belong. Right? So the things in the list, which you would drop out, which are not necessarily in the pattern of the rest of the list, whether it's Avram and Achai, whether it's Etzem Kisora, right, that is Nachmatami Ba'ohel, that bless you, or it's Rabbi Yisdan, which he wasn't closer on. So those are things that you could drop out of this, of the list. Okay, so. Right now, Sakashma, let's try another attempt at figuring out whether Shidron Gugolis is and Gugolis or Gugolis. Titania, we have a price of Bishami, or Mimlo Vatsamot Minat Samim. Alright, maybe before we go on to this, I just point out that Rabbi Akiva believes that Rabbi Saddam, right, is Mitame Ba'ohel, and the Chachamim require that Rabbi Saddam that comes from Mace Echad is. The Chachamim believe that Rabbi Saddam that comes from one mace is Mitame B'mag L'masa, not Ohel. He believes it's even Mitame B'Ohel. And the Chachamim require Chatzi Log to be Mitame B'Ohel of Dam. So Rabbi Akiva argues on the Chachamim actually on two issues. One issue is that Rabbi Saddam is Mitame B'Ohel. And number two is that for a...
If it comes from two
Meitim, that it's okay. And that Rabbi Saddam is Mitame B'Ohel. And that even if it comes from two Meitim. So just to point that out, because that's why it mentions Rabbi Saddam here, as opposed to Chatzi Logadam, which is what we have in on our mission. We have Chatzi Logadam, which is Mitame Ben Nazir. So this is obviously, that's not the position of Rabbi Akiva, who believes that even in Rabbi Saddam, it's Mitame Be'ohel. And number two is...
Rabbi Akiva doesn't, we're not suggesting Rabbi Akiva says that Ben Nazir, it doesn't cause it to have to.
Yeah, Rabbi Akiva even argues on that point.
Rabbi Akiva says,
yeah, because it's Mitame Ohel. The list here is Mitame Ohel, right? So that's it. Look in, let's point it out here.
When we said that it was so long, it was like, by another requirement is Chatzi. As opposed to
that's the position.
Right. It doesn't mean that he becomes tummy, then he becomes tummy. Right. It just doesn't cause him to forfeit the previous
days. Right, so Rabbi Akiva does argue on that point. Rabbi Akiva argues on the point. Number one, he holds that Rabbi Saddam is Mitame Ohel. It's Mitame and Nazir, not Chatzi Log, and it can come from Shem Meitim. So this is all the position of Rabbi Akiva, and that's why the price of you mentioned Rabbi Saddam, even though it's Chatzi Log Adam that we're talking about, not Rabbi Saddam. Alright. Good, now continue. Next line. Tashma Adetanya. Bechame Omri Mavat Samot Menat Samim, O Mishnaim O Mishlosha. So when we say Ruvak Kav, in the Mishnah, Ruvak Kav Avat Samot, be mitame. This is in the talking about ohel, tumas ohel, right? So then, robat samot minatzamim comes from two or three evarim. It has to be bones that come from two or three evarim. Bitolami robat minagivya. No, it has to be robat samot have to come from the body, the entirety of the body. Remove minyan or remove minyan. You need those samot to constitute either a rov minyan, which is the majority of the bones in the body, 125, or rov minyan, which is the majority of the height of the body, which we've discussed already a number of times, which is shnei shokayim and ayerech, or shnei rachim and a shok. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua, yechonu lasot divrei b'chamayim v'divrei t'hilo k'achad. I can reconcile b'chamayim and b'hilo if they don't argue. How's this? Sh'b'chamayim omri mishnayim v'shlosha. When they say two or three, what do they mean two or three? O mishnei shokim v'yerech achad, o mishnei yerechayim v'shok achad. But they, when they say two or three, they could be referring to those bones, these particular bones, and that would be Rov Binyan, which would also agree with Beis
Olam. I'm sorry, it could be either one. So.
Right, the Beis Olam requires either or, not both, right? Vo, Rov Gavo, Shel Adam, that gets, And that gets it kugodol or whatever, kugodol adam. This is the majority of the height of a person, and therefore they could qualify even for a beis el. Ubetilo umrim, when they say rov minyan, minagvia, omi rov binyan, omi rov binyan, ho beyeshnam yibifarkei yadayim viraglayim. If you picked the evarim that you picked were the hands and the feet, they have, between them, they have a large majority of the bones of the body. So the Mishnah and all those goes through the bones, but we know that for sure, that the hands and the feet have a very large number of bones to them. So if you picked two or three evarim, and the evarim that you picked were feet and hands, right, that those would constitute a rov minyan. So you can come up with a rov minyan that also was also two or three evarim. Because the, let me just give you the number, the exact count number here, but that the number of atzamot that are in the hands and the the hands and the legs, based on the Mishnah Atzamot, is minyan. Here it is. Just get you the number here. Yeah, the parseder glam yesh lamed. Right, the feet have 30, and the hands, each foot has 30, and each foot has 30. Right, so between the four of them, you'd have 120, and you need five more bones to get there, to get to the Iberian. So you have 120 between the hands and the feet, pick one more Iber and you'll be there, right? You can be there. Alright, Shammai Omer, and Shammai has an opinion that disagrees both with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Afilu etzem min ha-shidra o min ha-gugolet. Even one single bone out of a shidra or gugolet can make up the rova kal batzamot. So what do you see from here? You see from Shammai that what? That it's o shidra, oh, mina gilgolos, meaning that he only requires one bone, whether it's from the shidra or the gilgolos, so fine. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai might argue on him and say you need the whole shidra, the whole gilgolos, but nevertheless, he defined it being either shidra or gilgolos. One of the two is sufficient to create tumah. So Mar says, wait a minute, Shani Shammai the machmir, you can't bring any proof from Shammai, he's a huge machmir here. He says one bone, so maybe he means he's machmir not only on one bone, but even on the fact that you need either or, right? There's a shidra goes. Right. No, he needs it to be robot kav, he just needs that, he can say one bone can make up the robot kav atzamot. Even if one bone of the shidra of the gugolis makes up the one, the robot kav. Beit Shammai required at least three Evarim, two or three Evarim to make up the Rov HaKav. Beit Hillel required either Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan to make up the Rov HaKav. Beit Shammai requires just a single bone that comes from the Shidra of the Gugolos to make up this Rov HaKav. Doesn't even have to be Rov HaKav.
It seems that the variation tells us the Rosh said it.
Right, all of them, right. That's as far as I got. They all said that it was Rov HaKav. Okay, thank you. All right, so now, Shani Shammai de Machmir. Shammai is a huge Machmir here, and so therefore you can't bring any proof from him. So the Gemara says, well, listen to me, my time is the Beit Shammai, the Machmir. Let's go back and say, okay, well, okay, if Shammai is a Machmir, at least let's try to draw an inference to what the implications are from everybody else. Because Shammai spoke like this. Shammai said, not only did he say that it's one etzem, but he said, O Shidra, O Gilgolis. The fact that he put in Shidra O Gilgolos, and nobody else mentions O Shidra O Gilgolos, should prove to us that if you don't use the word O, that it means and. And the fact that Shammai qualified his statement and said, oh, he didn't say, I feel etzem min ha-shidra o min ha-gilgolos. He said min ha-shidra o min ha-gilgolos, which would imply that in our Mishnah, or the Mishnah Nolos, when it says Shidra v-gilgolos, that means and not or. That's what we're saying, which will mean not, time to be Shammai, the Machmeh, Harabonar Adika Shidra v-gilgolos. He says, no, look, Atan lo bligi rabbana le de Shammai lo be'etzem echad. The only thing they argue about him with is etzem echad. Atim in a shidro min a gulgolot. It comes from that. Aval echad iti be'ene. Had they been in their entirety, afilu chadim in hon. That would have been enough. Now this machlokis is about a different issue, and you can't bring any proof to shidro and gulgolot from this Gemara, because the fact that he puts O here is not, maybe they didn't want to put O, or maybe they don't read with O. They're only arguing with him about the single bone versus multiple bones, and not about Shidra and Gilgolos. So that's not their issue in this bright set that we brought from, or the mission we brought from Adiot. Alright, so now the Gemara says, alright, inconclusive again. Let's try another shot. Alright. Bayram Ibrahama, robots mote min a Shidra Gilgolos mai. Alright. If you have a rova atzamot from Shidra and Gugolot, what's the din? So, meaning, what's the din? Meaning that what's the requirement by a nazir to be menaleach on? to make a maleach on a nazir needs a chatzi kav atzamot, right? And here we have only a roba kav. So the Mishnah in Orlos says that you're tameh. There's tumas tuma maga and masa by an ohel by roba kav atzamot. But for a nazir, you need to get up to chatzi kav atzamot. So now Rami Bar Chama tries to what? Rami Bar Chama tries to introduce the possibility that what? That maybe the reason you need chatzi kav atzamot by a nazir is because you don't have an important enough entity inside the atzamot. What happens if you get the shidra and the golgolas inside this roba kav? Are the shidra and the golgolas so important that even roba kav atzamot will be mitameh the nazir? Or do we say that it's subject to the same requirement of chatzi kav atzamot? That when the requirement for a nazir, right, that he has to cut his hair only on tumas oil of chatzi kav atzamot, that is what, that's when it talks about other evarim. But the shidra, those the chamire, since they have their own status, I mean that they're able to do work on their own, right, I feel a robot's amot, maybe even a robot's amot be enough. Oh, deal muggles, stop. Maybe it makes no difference. I mean, shidra and golos are subject to the same requirements as others. Rabba Tashma, I'll show you. Hashidra,
Val Golos. But he's saying that it has to be from both?
Yeah. But that may not be an answer to our question. Because we're talking about here about broken up shidra and golos. That they're broken up into pieces. So there, when I broke it up into pieces,
it's really, what's the point of it here?
We left the other topic behind. That's Kedak of the Kodesh Nazir. We didn't have any conclusion here, but it's in vain. Like, you know, like the same way at the beginning of the Daf today, where by Rova, Rova asked a question about Nemalah, that's Paseira. You're going to talk with, it had nothing to do with the Sugya before, which is talking about a Shlemus by Rekiv, but it's still in context of whole versus missing a part, it's also relevant. So it's over here. Shidra and Gugolos over here, even though they're not addressing our topic of Shidra o Gugolos or Shidra and Gugolos, it's talking about Shidra and Gugolos, which are contextually at least connected to the sugya before. Alright, so this is Rami from S. I'll bring a proof to you. Our mission says Hashidra to have Gugolot. In our mission enumerates two different issues in our mission. One is Chatzi Kav Atzamot, and the next one is Hashidra Vav Gugolot. If it was true that what? That Rova Atzamot would be enough, then mention Chatzi Atzamot, and then Rova Kav Atzamot and Shidra Gugolot, which would be a kula in a sense. It would be even an easier way to get Tuma, because the way our mission reads, you need a, right, it's a chumrah in a sense, but I'm saying it would be an easier way to get to, right, in the shir of Tuma, because in the mission it seems to implicate that you need a whole Shidra, or a whole Gugolot. But if you wrote Rova Kav, Shidra Gugolos, that would make a Tuma come even by Rova Kav. The fact that our mission doesn't mention Rova Kav tells you that that's not sufficient. So Rova Kav Atzmos. Gemara says, Baha Rova Hu. And this, I'll just be honest with you, the Gerson now in the Gemara is very difficult. I'll read it the way we have it in our Gemara, and then I'll tell you that the Tosos and others, Rashi and Zavachim, change around the Gerson here. Alright, it says, Baha Rova Hu Da Amar Lo Nitzvacha Ala Shidra Gugolos. Shame by Rova Atzamot. Isn't Rova the one himself who said, the reason that we need Shidra and Gugolos in our Mishnah is to teach you that even when they don't have a Rova Atzamot, meaning this is really the Mishnah in Olos. Mishnah Olos, where it says Rova Kav Atzamot, then how come it mentions both items? It mentions Rova Kav Atzamot, and then Shidra and Gugolos by themselves. So what does Shidra and Gugolos teach you that wasn't in Rova Kav Atzamot? If Rova Kav Atzamot is sufficient, then why do you have to teach me about Shidra and Gugolos? The underlying assumption is that Shidra and Gugolos always have Rova Kav Atzamot. They will always be sufficient to hold. But even if they're not whole, because Rova Kav Atzamot doesn't require a whole. Right? That's the requirement of Rova Kav Atzamot.
They mention them separately. They mention Shidra and Gugolos separately, becoming within the whole, as opposed to Rova.
Yeah, but it wouldn't matter. Whole is a chumrah. That they have to be whole. If Rova Kav Atzamot is sufficient to be Tuma, right, then when you mention Shidra and Gugolos, if they themselves are make up Even when they're broken, make up rova and kal automatically, then they should automatically be tamei, whether they're whole or not whole, they're all already automatically captured under rova and kal atzamot. So why do they mention separately? So rova comes to say, why do they mention separately? Because you can have a shidron of gugolis that are less than rova and kal atzamot. If they're less than rova and kal atzamot, then you can make the qualification, like they have to be whole in order to be mitamei. But the chiddush is that even when they're less than rova and kal atzamot, that shidron, if they're whole, that they are mitamei. So that's based on that. You have no conclusive proof from here to the position or to the answer to this question, which is what? That if Rova Akav may not be addressing Sidran Golos. I mean, Sidran Golos are there not to tell you. What was our question? Our question on Rova was, why not say that Sidran Golos are there? The fact that the Mishnah mentions Sidran Golos separately proves to you what? That it's not Rova Akav. Rova Akav doesn't work because it should have mentioned in our Mishnah here, in Nazir, it mentions Chatzi Kav Atzamot and then Sidran Golos separately. If you wanted to make it Rova Akav, Sidran Golos, then say Rova Akav, Sidran Golos. Mark says, well, what about the Mishnah in Olos? Mishnah Olos mentions Rova Akav Atzamot and Shidra and Gugolos. So why does it mention Shidra and Gugolos in the Mishnah in Olos? Must be, that's what Rova says, must be that Shidra and Gugolos come to teach you even when Shidra and Gugolos are less than Rova Akav. If they're whole, they are Mitameh. So based on that, now if you come back to our Mishnah over here, the fact that Shidra and Gugolos are mentioned and not Rova Akav is not conclusive. Why is it not conclusive? Because our Mishnah didn't write Rova Akav, because maybe Shidron Golos are less than Rova Akav. And that's why Shidron Golos are mentioned separately. They're mentioned separately because they could be less than Rova Akav. If they're less than Rova Akav, when they're whole, they're mitameh. But about Rova Akav, right, our Mishnah may not have addressed her. It may never have to, never been involved with. So now the Gemara says, well, in Rova Akav Atzmo, Bato Deshama Rabbi Akiva. That Chazerbo or something like this, that Rova was Choser on his position after he heard the position of Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean, after he heard the position of Rabbi Akiva? So that's a very difficult thing. What does he mean he heard the position of Rabbi Akiva? So to uphold this, Rabbi Akiva and Rova are obviously not contemporaries. So what does it mean that Rova was Choser when he heard the position of Rabbi Akiva? So the Tosfos here brings that, an idea that after he heard from Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah and Olos, right, that they enumerate Rova Akav Atzamot and Revias Abav Mishnei Titim and Shidra and Gugolos Mishnei Meitim. So then he had to separate out between Shidra and Gugolos and Rova Akav Atzamot. He had to say that they're separate issues. Right? They're totally separate issues because it's clear that Rabbi Akiva's list and the six things that he argues on the Chachamim enumerates Shidra and Gugolos and Rova Atzamot. Right? Rova Akav Atzamot. So it must be then that Shidra and Gugolos are even when they're less than Rova Akav Atzamot, that they will be mitameh. So that's what it meant after you heard it from Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos here has a change in the girsa, a total change in the girsa, and says that it's not Rabbi Akiva but Mar Ukva that's speaking over here. They mixed up Rabbi Akiva and Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva was a contemporary of Rava, so it would make sense that he heard something from Mar Ukva. And he actually changes the order of the Gemara. And he says that, I'll read you the way that he has the girsa here. It says here, Kachatu b'chos marim b'loit parish maral to the Tosus Batar Deshama Rabbi Akiva. It's in the Gemara and Alf. That Tosus says, Batar Deshama, right, to me, Rabbi Akiva. Kachatu b'chos marim b'loit parish maral b'gimgum. So that makes up b'ilo mistafina b'rab husta b'amina sheish chisaron b'sparim. If I was not embarrassed for my friends, I would say that this Gemara is missing a very basic problem in the Girsa here. And he writes like this. Right, that what? That Vegasina Mikame Pircha de Kamarova Lo Nitzracha. Before the question comes before the statement of Rava. Amar Mar Ukva, Hocha Bashidra Golos Ibahan Rova Askinan. We're talking about a Shidra and Golos that have less than Rova Akav. Perush. Right, so this answer of Rava was only talking about when he said Shidra and Golos in our mission, it should have said Rova Akav Atzamot. In fact, it doesn't say that proves to you that that's not the case. He says, well, then Marukva says, well, maybe the whole point of the Shidra and Golos is for less than Rova Akav. When they're less than Rova Akav, Perish Marukva Balit Chota Tshuva Shehivi Rava. Marukva is going to undermine the answer that Rava gave on the previous Amud. Makwan says, so where Rava is a stam Shidra Golos Yeshman Rava. And all Shidra and Golos have Rova Akav Atzamot. Vitakila Marukva. The case in our mission is a case where you have a Shidra and a Gugolos that are less than Rova Akav. Upare Hashas. Then the Gemara itself asks, right? And Rova doesn't have this Svara, the extra Shidra goes below Rova. The Hamar Rova. Didn't Rava say on the Mishnah and Olos, he's the one who said that why Sidrim Gogol is mentioned there next to Rava Kalat's Mot, but less than Rava Kalat's Mot. So I said, Mashani, back to the Shammah Mer Ukva, after he had heard it from Mer Ukva, then he was Chazerbo, that he went in, he was Chazerbo from his position that Sidrim Gogol are always Rava Kalat, and he went like the position of Mer Ukva. So Rava's qualification on the Mishnah and Olos is a derivative or a result of the statement of Mer Ukva. And that's what it meant here. Mer Ukva, part of the Shammah Mer Ukva, he was Kozer. So he changed the gears in the Gemara not to read Rabbi Kiva, but Ma'ukva, which makes a lot more sense because they were contemporaries. And then it makes sense. What do you mean? Rava changed his mind after he heard Rabbi Kiva. What do you mean after he heard Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah. What does that mean? Oh, all of a sudden he heard a Mishnah and then he changed his mind? No, we assume that Amorai knew the Mishnayos. We don't say that about Prices. We do say that about Mishnayos. They knew all Mishnayos. So the fact that he changed his
mind. Understanding what the position of Rabbi Kiva was.
Well, the problem there, it's enumerated. It says Rava Kavatzmot and Shidron Gogolos. So now you don't have much choice about explaining Shidur and Golos have to be less than Rova Kalatzmot. That's the whole proof. Right? So that doesn't make so much sense. That's where this other Gersin Tosos comes up, which says that Mar Ukva was the one who challenged the position of Rova. And then the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Rova didn't have this position. We see in Olos, when he qualified the mission Olos, he had this exact position. The Gemara says, no. That Rava changed his mind, and he learned, after he heard what Mar Ukva said, he learned the Mishnah and Olos that way, and his change of mind was generated by the position of Mar Ukva, which would make a lot of sense, because Mar Ukva and Rava were contemporaries. Alright, we'll stop here.